Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this study of Your Word, and thank You for this prayer meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray not only would we understand Your Word, Father, but it would make a difference in our lives and help us to go out of here tonight with grace from You, Lord, to live the Christian life more completely, more fully than we were able to when we came in. We pray Your blessing upon the ministry of the Word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Maybe be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel. Daniel. And I want you to look at chapter 10 of Daniel and verse 10 through 13. And I'll read verse 10 of Daniel. It says there, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Isn't it great when you pray and you know God has heard your prayer? Sometimes we pray and we wonder if God really heard our prayer. And sometimes we doubt. I was praying today and I went and read Psalm 120 on our scripture reading. And it talked there about, in my distress, I cried to the Lord and He heard me. That was such a comfort to know that God hears when I pray. And He encouraged me and assured me of that from His very word today. And I wonder, do you pray in faith? God says when we pray, we ought to pray in faith. Well, Daniel was encouraged that God heard his prayer. And one of the men tell me, what was Daniel praying for? What did he want to know, Joe?
He wanted to understand the visions that he had.
Yes, very good. He wanted to understand the revelation that he had about the future of his people, Israel, God's people. And he wanted God to give him an understanding about the things in the future, the things of Bible prophecy. And he was concerned about his people. And God heard his prayer. And it says in verse 13, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. And what I want to look at tonight is God will perform His plans for you, His people. You can count on that. And you need to pray for angelic provision and protection. See, you need to realize that you're not strong in yourself, that you're weak, and that you are able to fall into great sin. We are involved in a spiritual warfare here, and Daniel shows us that there is a spiritual warfare. You have enemies that are against you. You have your flesh that's against you, and your flesh hates God, and it hates the will of God, and it fights against the Spirit. And you have the world that's against you, and the world is a whole system of organized evil that's trying to get you to backslide and get away from God and to forget God. You have the devil that's against you. And if you realize how weak you are in yourself, you will realize your need for prayer. I want to ask you a question tonight. I wonder if you went all through the day and didn't pray until tonight. There's something wrong if that's the case, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Do you know what the word poor in spirit means? The word poor there means to be a beggar. That means to realize, listen to me, listen, nobody talking. That means to realize how weak you are, how prone to sin you are, how easy it would be for Satan to get you. And Daniel realized that. And Daniel realized that not only did he need prayer for himself, but more importantly, God's people needed prayer. And how often do we pray one for another? Listen, Daniel, hey, 3 weeks he didn't eat good food. He fasted. He weakened his body. He prayed to God and asked God, as Joe said, for understanding, for wisdom of the scripture, so that he would know What the will of God was and what the plan of God was. And if Daniel did that, how much more should you and I do that today as we live in these last days and these dangerous days? The Bible says we're living in perilous times because we need God's strength. And just to reinforce that, the Bible says, notice in verse number 13 here that the angel that got to him had to fight to get to him, and it took him 3 weeks, listen to me, to get to Daniel, even though God heard his prayer immediately, and he sent an angel to help him. It took 3 weeks to get to him. One of the men tell me, why, pray tell, did it take 3 weeks for an angel to get to Daniel to give him the answer to his prayer and the help that he needed? Why did it take 3 weeks for that to happen? Because the prince of Persia withstood the angel. Now let me ask you men, who was the prince of Persia? Raise your hand if you know. Who was the prince of Persia? I'll tell you, he was not the human leader of Persia. He was not like Ahmadinejad, because Ahmadinejad, that little Iranian, about 5 foot tall or whatever he is, he could not withstand an angel of God. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 men. It was a demon. It was a fallen angel that influenced the head of the Persian government. And angels who are fallen away from God and have followed Satan, listen to me, they are organized and they're sent forth by the devil to influence people and influence people in high places, so that literally nations, whole nations and governments are controlled by demons to do what they want them to do. And so God sends forth his angels, and this angel came in order to fight with this demon and to take away, listen to me, to take his influence away from that leader. By the way, do you know that demons, fallen angels, are influencing certain governments? President Bush spoke of an axis of evil. I do believe that the Iranian leader Ahmadinejad, who wants to drive Israel into the sea, that he's directly under the influence of a strong, powerful, fallen angel that's telling him this. That's telling him about the Mahdi who is in a well and is and is in silence, but is communicating about the end times and the return of the Muslim Mahdi. He's going to come back, the false Messiah of the Muslim people. And I believe there's false teaching that this man is heard and is influencing evil going on in the world, but listen, the greatest defense against that is for Christians to pray and to seek God. I'm not against voting. I think you ought to vote, but who are you going to vote for? I sure don't like Barack Obama, who's never met an abortion legislation that he voted against. And I thank God that John McCain has some pro-life stands, but there's a lot of things about John McCain I don't like. But I'll tell you what, the greatest thing that you and I can do is we can realize, listen to me, that there are fallen angels that are influencing these people when they get into government. People have gotten into government and they made all these promises, they're going to do all these good things, and they turn around and do bad things. I've seen people in the Supreme Court that you hope were going to vote for pro-life, and they were going to vote for prayer in the school and so forth, and then they vote the wrong thing and they turn around and they're a disappointment. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the devil is real and he wants to influence you to disobey. He wants to influence you to get into sin, and he works with that flesh that you have in you even as a Christian. And though you may not be demon possessed, you're under the influence of the devil when you listen to your selfish, sinful nature and you go against that and do what's wrong. That's why, by the way, why children need to be spanked. Spare the rod and spoil that brat. But I want to tell you tonight that the Bible says that there is a spiritual warfare, and we have to use the weapons that God has given us, and we have to pray because these demons want to influence our government leaders. And even if you get leaders that seem to be good, they can go the wrong way. And that's exactly what was happening when Daniel was praying here. There was an answer to prayer in that this demon was defeated, and the angel couldn't defeat this demon. He was so powerful, he was so strong, that God's angel came to fight him, and he couldn't overcome him. Now, what did he need to help him? One of the men tell me. What did he need to help him? Eric?
One of the chief princes.
And who was that? He needed a very powerful angel that would come and help him. In Daniel chapter 10, yes.
The archangel?
Yes, the archangel. And his name is Michael. Now listen to me, Michael's job is to protect and to defend Israel. I remember going down the street one time, and I had my whole family with me, and I was driving. And I was driving down the street, and we hit a patch of ice as we were coming across the country. And the car was starting to go into a 360 right in the highway. And there was a huge ditch, and I had little kids in the car. And I cried out, God, save us, help us. And all of a sudden, I hit a dry patch, and I was able to bring that car to a stop and get off there. I didn't realize we were in an ice storm. I'd just come out of a motel, didn't realize it. I believe there are angels that are called upon to protect us. And the Michael is an angel that protects Israel. I believe there are angels that protect Revival Baptist Church. I pray to God for His protection. I know, Brother Joe, you believe that. Why? Because you know how the devil wants to destroy this church. I'm talking about the devil wants to destroy this church. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Listen, I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about getting a hold of God. I'm talking about praying to God and getting a hold of God. Hold your finger here. Go back up to Ephesians chapter 6. And this is serious stuff. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What does that mean? Listen, Daniel was weak. Daniel couldn't even stand up. He was so weak until he prayed and the angel of God touched him and he got up on his hands and knees. And then the angel said to him, now get up on your feet. And he got up on his feet and he couldn't even speak, and the angel had to touch him again so that he could talk. In other words, he was weakened by the fact that he had been fasting and praying, and by the fact that he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ in a vision of the Lord, and he was weakened by these things, and he needed the touch of God and to be strengthened. And listen to me, God knows that you and I need His power to live the Christian life. And one of the men tell me, where does that power come from for the Christian? Timmy?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. You need to be fed the Word of God or you're going to be weak. Hey, maybe some of us need less food and more of the Word of God. Maybe we need some days where we pray and fast and we get more of the Word of God in our lives. We need the Word of God. And there's one other thing that strengthens us. And what is that strengthens us so that we can live the Christian life? Because you can't live it without it. Yes?
I'm going to say faith.
Well, that thing is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit of God is released in your life by faith, Joe. It's released as you put your faith in the Lord. The Holy Spirit is released and you are given the strength to live the Christian life. And that's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Well, why do you need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? You can't fight the devil in your power. You need God's power. And you need angels to protect you and to help you. And when you understand that, you realize where you are. I remember Pastor Ware used to say, I was telling somebody about this last week. Pastor Ware used to say, Bloom, we're walking on eggshells. We're walking on eggshells around here. I didn't know what he was talking about. He was the pastor of this church before I was. And he said, we're walking on eggshells. In other words, the devil wants to get us. He's trying to get us. And you know what? The devil wants to get you. He wants to get you in his trap. And he wants to take you down. And he will look for opportunities. And if he can't find something, he'll tell lies about you. He'll do anything he can to attack you. And you need to have God's protection on your life. And we need to have God's protection on our church. And we need God's strength. And that's what Daniel was getting here in answer to prayer, because he prayed to God. And look what it says in verse 12. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, this is not just talking about a little arm wrestling here. This is talking about the kind of wrestling they did in Paul's day in the Colosseums. You know what they used to do? These gladiators would wrestle with one another. And when they threw the opponent to the ground, guess what they would do? They'd gouge his eyes out. See, the devil wants to gouge your eyes out. Remember he did that with Samson? His eyes were gouged right out. Samson didn't have any eyes and he was tied up and he lost his strength and he had to grind grain for the Philistines and they mocked him. Satan wants to get rid of your testimony. He wants to have your testimony be mocked and be nothing. And he knows he can't take away your salvation, but he wants to take away your spiritual strength. He wants to take away your testimony. And the Bible says you need the Lord's strength to stand up to the devil. And you need the protection of God's angels. And that's why it says, go up to verse 18, it says, praying always, look at this, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not only do you need God's protection, not only do you need God's strength, but we need to pray one for another as Christians. And that's why I say every week, pray for the pastor, because as goes the pastor, so goes the church. Pray for the church and individuals in the church. Pray without ceasing. Why? Because the devil never stops. He may go away for a little time, but he comes back again. And there are these forces that are trying to oppose and influence our country. And by the way, right now we can see it's getting darker and darker in our country. Our country's taking a nosedive. What can we do? We can pray, because no matter who gets elected or who's running for office, it's the demons behind the scenes that really are influencing the policy in our country. And who has the most effect upon them? Christians that are right with God, that are praying. You have more effect. And I'm not saying don't vote, you should vote, but much more important than voting is your prayers and your understanding of this spiritual warfare. And here you get a real telescope look into what's going on behind the scenes. And so that's the first thing I want to say to you tonight, is God will perform his plans for you, his people, but you have to pray for angelic provision and protection, and you have to pray. And I remember a guy in the 16th century England by the name of John Knox. And there was a lady, you've heard of Henry VIII and all that stuff about Henry VIII. And remember, he got rid of his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and he married Anne Boleyn, and then he got rid of Anne Boleyn and married Jane Seymour. You know that whole history there, English history? It was a real soap opera. Henry VIII wanted a male heir. Finally, Jane Seymour gave him a male heir, and then she died a few weeks later from childbirth, and he had Anne Boleyn killed. He said that she committed adultery and all this, had her killed because she had girls. But in all that, God was working, because he was breaking in England from Rome and breaking them from the power of Rome and preparing them to be part of the Protestant Reformation that gave us in America the gospel and blessed our country. Amazing. And there was a lady by the name of Catherine of Aragon, his first wife, Henry VIII's first wife, that he divorced. She was very Catholic. And she had a daughter by the name of Mary. And Mary was very Catholic. And Mary, after Henry VIII went off the scene and Anne Boleyn was dead, Anne Boleyn had a daughter named Elizabeth. But Mary had Catherine of Aragon had a daughter named Mary, and she came to the throne, and the English elected her to the throne. But her name was called Mary, Queen of Scots. Nicknamed Bloody Mary. Why? Because she had men like Hugh Latimer burned at the stake and great saints burned at the stake that were Protestant reformers and that believed in the Bible. And she had them killed. And she was zealous for the Catholic religion and had Bible believers killed. But there was a man, a Presbyterian man by the name of John Knox, and Mary Queen of Scots made a statement about John Knox. She said, "I fear his prayers more than all the marching armies of England." And John Knox one night told his wife, this is the story, that he was going to pray, and he was so burdened to pray, and he prayed all night, and he wrestled with God, and he wrestled about this Mary Queen of Scots. And in the morning, he said, "Now I have peace. I've broken through. I know God's heard my prayer. I know there's going to be an answer." And that day, Mary died that morning, dead. And in her place, Anne Boleyn's daughter, Elizabeth, took over. The one that Henry VIII felt was a woman, but she took over. And through her influence, the Protestant Reformation resurged, and God blessed England. And it's amazing how God is in control of these things. And what I'm trying to say, sometimes you feel powerless, and we are powerless in some ways, even though we live in a free country. But listen, we have the power of prayer. We have the power of God. And so I want to just say to you tonight, pray for angelic protection. Pray for God's power and God's blessing, and He will come through and do great things for you. And that's what we learn here from Daniel. And I want you to see another thing. Purify yourself from pleasing people instead of God. And we're going to look at this next time, how you can purify yourself in Daniel chapter 11. And then we're going to look at prophecy and what God says about the end of the age and how God can work all of these things out. But I want to just say to you tonight that the greatest need is for us to cleanse ourselves from sin through the Word of God and to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And then to pray for our government, to pray for our leaders, and to pray for God's protection and our spiritual leadership in the church, and to pray for God to save people, and to pray for the power of God. Why? Because the weapons that we have are strong and mighty. I was over at Ralph Tolley's the other day, and we were talking about how that Moses was a warrior, and David was a warrior, and all these men had to fight, and they had to use their swords. And I said, "Yeah, but we've got something that's not a metal sword. We've got a spiritual sword. We got the sword of the Spirit. This is the Word of God right here. We got the power of God, which is prayer. And that's more powerful than the American army and anything we could come up with our military." And if ever we needed Christians to be in their place and to be right with God and to be yielded to God, it's right now. Listen, Daniel was that kind of a man. He was just one man. But look at the effect of his life. How about you daring to be a Daniel and to seek God and His strength and for His protection and for His provision for yourself, for your church, for your country? How about taking a stand for God like Daniel did and God blessed? And by the way, when this angel, this fallen angel came and he fought the king of Persia, I want you to notice, go back to Daniel chapter 10, I want you to notice the result of that when he fought in Daniel chapter 10. And look what it says in verse 13. It says, "And I remained there with the kings of Persia." You know what that meant? It meant that he fought this demon and he got help from Michael. And he remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, who was the first king of Persia? His name was Cyrus. He was a Mede. He was a Persian. Cyrus, the first king of Persia. He was a Persian. Now listen. Then after him came another king. Then after him came another king. Then after him came another king. And you know what this is telling us? That after this angel of God, with the help of Michael, won the battle, that the influence of his presence there continued with the next king after Cyrus. And you remember what Cyrus did. Cyrus, remember, he made a decree that the Jews would be able to go back to the promised land after 70 years of captivity. In about 536, 535 BC, they were able to go back because Cyrus, the king of Persia, made that decree. Why do you think he made that favorable decree for the Jews? Yes?
I believe it was because of Daniel.
Yes, because of Daniel's prayers, because of this angel of God that beat this demon that was influencing the kings and beat him, and now Persia and Cyrus was under the influence of God, his angel. And I don't care who the ruler is, God, there's a force behind that needs to be experienced in order for there to be victory. And once Cyrus was under the influence of God's angel who remained there with him, the next king of Persia and the next king of Persia and the next king of Persia were still there. That's what he means in verse 13 when he says, I remain. That angel, listen, after he gave Daniel the future revelation, he remained there influencing the head of the Persian government. And that's what God is saying, you have and I have. We have a spiritual warfare and spiritual power that can influence our leaders if we pray for them. We ought not to curse our leaders even when they're bad leaders. We can speak up and say, I disagree with this. We're in America, but we ought not to curse them and rail on them. We ought to say, thank you, Lord, for our leader, because you give us the leader that you put over us. And even when you're chastening us and humbling us with a leader that might be putting us under and putting us through different circumstances, it's because God wants to purify us. God wants to purify us. And He wants to teach us to get back to prayer, to get back to the Word of God. You see, when things go well for us, instead of using the freedoms that we have and the opportunities we have, maybe we're backsliding and America has become pleasure crazed and seeking pleasure. And God's saying, I may let you have a leader that's difficult in order that you get back to me and that you pray to me. I remember after 8 years of Bill Clinton, I was praying my face off. And who did we have after Bill Clinton? George Bush. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for George Bush. If you think George Bush is bad, what if you saw Barack Obama in power? I don't want to get into politics, but it reminds me of Jimmy Carter all over again. Some of the things that are being said. And after Jimmy Carter, some Christians were praying and God gave us Ronald Reagan. I mean, we were suffering. And I'm just saying to you, listen, God is in control, and no matter who this leader is, the best thing you can do for this leader is you could pray to God, and God can send His angel to protect and to provide and to help, and that's the best thing that you can do for your political leaders, and that's what you can do for your spiritual leaders. You could pray for God to work, and they need prayer because they need angelic protection and angelic help, and it's a spiritual warfare that we're in tonight, and God will help us if we humble ourselves and realize that we need Him tonight. Let's bow for prayer tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder who will say, preacher, this summer I covenant to pray every day for political leaders in our country that are over me, like the governor and the president and the mayor and so forth. I covenant to pray for them and for God's angels to influence them for good. And I covenant to pray for my preacher every day for God's wisdom and power and love to influence and hold sway every day in my life. If you'll make that commitment today, I believe God will use that in a great way. And I want to see tonight that that's a decision you're willing to make. If you raise your right hand and say, Pastor, I make that commitment today, I'll do that this summer, every day. Amen. Amen. Many of you, amen. Thank God for that. You may put your hands down. I wonder if somebody will say, preacher, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've accepted Him as my Savior, but I haven't been baptized. But I'm willing to be baptized as a public testimony that I've been saved. Would you pray for me that I'll follow through on that? I know I've been saved, I've accepted him, but I've not been baptized and I'm willing to do it. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand and say, I'm willing to do that tonight. I've accepted the Lord and I'm willing to be baptized. Hold it up, let me see it. All right, I see those hands. I'll pray for you tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this prayer meeting tonight, Lord. Thank you for the fact that you help us to come together and to pray to you, Lord. And Lord, we know the devil doesn't want us to pray because he fears the power of a church that prays as well as that witnesses, Lord. And I pray that we would be a church that prays and witnesses. And Father in heaven, that we would pray for our country and the leaders of our country, and that we would pray for this church and the leadership of our church. And Lord, that you would send revival, that you would send an awakening, that you, Lord, would send your angels to fight against the demons that are influencing through the media. Lord, I thank you that you have broken through in certain places, and the media has not had complete control with lies. Lord, that you get the truth out. But Lord, we pray that you would increase that and send forth your angelic help upon us. Help us, Lord, as a country to support Israel where we need to, and Lord, to make the right decisions where we need to fight and what we need to do. Lord, there is so much deception in the world. Help us to have your word, as was said tonight, and to be controlled by your spirit, that we might be led in the right direction. We pray for wisdom, Lord, to make the right decisions. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.